This is Poetry Off the Shelf from the Poetry Foundation, October 6th, 2010. I'm Curtis Fox. This week, the political pedigree of a Bohemian poet. It's October. The political season is in full swing. Given the low level of political discourse in this country, it's all a little depressing, isn't it? As an antidote, there is poetry. Specifically, one of the funniest political poems I've ever come across. It's called An American Poem, and it's by Eileen Miles. I'm joined by Emily Gould, a writer here in Brooklyn. Emily just wrote a piece about Eileen Miles and her new book, Inferno, a poet's novel. That's up on our website, poetryfoundation.org. Now, Emily, I've listened to An American Poem about four times now. I listened to it a few years ago, and I listened to it twice this morning. And each time, it cracks me up in a new way. But before we listen to it, I wanted to ask you a few questions about Eileen Miles. You say that in your piece that when you are asked who your favorite writers are, you often bring up Eileen Miles. Tell me why.
I think because her writing is so incredibly the opposite of what people tend to mean when they use poetic as a euphemism for things that they don't like about writing. Mm. I used to work at a publishing house, and often in rejection letters, you would want to give a few words of faint praise while you were rejecting something. So you would tend to recycle the same adjectives over and over again. So you'd say something like, this poetic gem of a, and poetic would almost be an insult. Miles's writing is not poetic in the sense of florid or frilly or full of adjectival descriptions of things. It's just really bare and straightforward and nails the essence of things, which I think is the real, you know, meaning of the word poetic.
So,
but watch out for poetic if anyone ever describes your work as poetic.
And even your poetry, if you describe poetry as poetic, it sounds a little off. You don't want to.
It's a diss, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So tell us a little bit, just roughly, what is Eileen Miles' biography?
Born in Boston environs, went to Catholic school, went to UMass, and moved to New York and started living a bohemian catch-as-catch-can life that involved doing a lot of drinking and taking a lot of amphetamines. Stopped doing that and became very serious about her poetry and her writing.
Mm-hmm. And she's also a lesbian, and that's very important in her own poetry.
She didn't come out as a lesbian until she'd been living in New York for kind of a, it becomes clear in the novel, like kind of a long time, and you're sort of wondering the whole time, like, when is going to be the moment when she's finally going to come to terms with this thing? Because she's definitely doing a lot of other wild and crazy things. And it seems like that's the very last one. That's the last taboo that gets broken down. She's going to have sex with random strangers and take drugs that she doesn't even know what the drugs are that someone offers her in a bar. She's going to prostitute herself. And then the final thing is to just have sex with a woman. And then it's this amazing scene in the book because it's just so graphic and vivid.
Mm. But not in a good way or a bad way.
It's weird. It's not pornographic. It's not erotic. It's just visceral. You're so there. Her language is just so original. Her style is just unique.
And a lot of the facts that we just heard about her life are in this poem, although it is a complete fiction.
Right.
Let's give it a listen. Here's Eileen Miles reading An American Poem.
I was born in Boston in 1949. I've never wanted this fact to be known. In fact, I've spent the better half of my adult life trying to sweep my early years under the carpet and have a life that was clearly just mine and independent of the historic fate of my family. Can you imagine what it was like to be one of them? To talk like them, to be built like them, to have the benefits of being born into such a wealthy and powerful American family. I went to the best schools. I had all kinds of tutors and trainers. I traveled widely. I met the famous, the controversial, and the not-so-admirable. And I knew from a very early age that if there were ever any possibility of escaping the collective fate of this famous Boston family, I would take that route. And I have. I hopped on an Amtrak to New York in the early 70s, and I guess you could say my hidden years began. I thought, well, I'll be a poet. What could be more foolish and obscure? I became a lesbian. Every woman in my family looks like a dyke, but it's really stepping off the flag when you become one. Well, holding this ignominious pose, I have seen and I have learned and I'm beginning to think there's no escaping history. A woman I was currently having an affair with said, "You know, you look like a Kennedy." I felt the blood rising in my cheeks. People have always laughed at my Boston accent, confusing large for lodge, potty for potty. But when this unsuspecting woman invoked for the first time my family name, I knew the jig was up. Yes, I am a Kennedy. My efforts to remain obscure have not served me well. Starting as a humble poet, I quickly climbed to the top of my profession, assuming a position of leadership and honor. It is right that a woman should call me out now. Yes, I am a Kennedy, and I await your orders. You are the new Americans, the homeless are wandering the streets of our nation's greatest city. Homeless men with AIDS are among them. Is that right? That there are no homes for the homeless, that there's no free medical help for these men and women, that they get the message that as they are dying, that this is not their home. And how are your teeth today? Can you afford to fix them? How high is your rent? If art is the highest and most honest form of communication of our time, and the young artist can no longer afford to move here to speak to her time. Yes, I could, but that was 25 years ago. And remember, as I must, I am a Kennedy. Shouldn't we all be Kennedys? Our nation's greatest city is home of the businessman, home of the rich artist, people with beautiful teeth who are not on the streets. What should we do about this dilemma? Listen, I have been educated. I have learned about Western civilization. Do you know what the message of Western civilization is? I am alone. Am I alone today? I don't think so. Am I the only one with bleeding gums in this room today? Am I the only homosexual in this room? Am I the only one whose friends have died, are dying now? And my art can't be supported until it is gigantic, bigger than everyone else's, confirming the audience's feeling that they are alone. That they alone are good, deserve to buy the tickets to see this art, are working, are healthy, should survive, and are normal. Everyone here, are we all normal? It is not normal for me to be a Kennedy, but I am no longer ashamed, no longer alone. I'm not alone today because we are all Kennedys, and I am your president.
That was Eileen Miles reading an American poem. The recording comes from Penn Sound, which is one of the greatest troves of audio poetry on the internet. That poem is amazing how it turns the tables on us. It's very funny halfway through, and then it really delivers something.
She sucks you in with the joke. You start to take seriously something that if it were in the form of a rant, if it were someone who's, you know, a freshman in college and has just noticed that there are homeless people with AIDS and they're not having adequate medical care and that it's impossible to be an artist and your teeth might fall out because you have no health insurance. You pay attention because she's made you laugh. And you take seriously something that under other circumstances you would have, your eyes would have glazed over. You would have said, "Oh God, an activist."
Yeah. And she puts the audience into the poem itself. And she sort of rubs our noses in a little bit. Because my teeth are pretty good. I don't know about you. Your teeth look pretty good. I mean,
well, my freelancers union health insurance is actually one of the things that it is good for is dental.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You see? So in her novel, she mentions this poem and she says something very funny about it. She says, "Though I have many great and wonderful poems, I have written one distinctly famous one and I believe it to be the key to my oeuvre." That's, and of course, she's saying that tongue-in-cheek. She says much of what she said, including this entire poem, is largely tongue-in-cheek. Is this a poem that's typical? Is it a key to her oeuvre? Is it a key to her prose or her other poems? How do you see it?
I mean, I don't know if she's in earnest at all. Mm. Maybe a little bit, because I do think it's important in terms of understanding her work to know that she is genuinely from this working class background, really just terrible childhood. There's another great part of the book where she talks about, you know, her sort of credentials for writing a memoir. And as she's refusing to group herself with the people whose memoirs are, "Look how badly I have been victimized," she's saying, "Well, you know, I have, of course, been victimized, but that's not the point."
There is no self-pity in Eileen Miles, as far as I could tell.
But at the same time, she does want you to know.
Uh-huh. Right. Emily, you're very familiar with her prose as well as her poetry. Is the tone the same in her prose as her poetry, sort of tongue-in-cheeky and funny and very sort of tossed-off casual sounding?
She's such a natural storyteller that her poems, even though they are not explicitly little stories like her essays are, there's a lot of narrative drive in them. So you will keep reading to the end of a poem to find out what happened.
Emily, thanks so much.
Oh, you're welcome. It's fun.
Emily Gould is the author of a book of essays called And the Heart Says Whatever. You can read Emily Gould's piece on Eileen Miles and her new book, Inferno, a poet's novel, on our website, poetryfoundation.org, where you can also read some more Eileen Miles poems. In the meantime, if you haven't already, subscribe to this podcast in the iTunes store. And while you're there, please write a review of the show. Also, drop us a note to let us know what you think of this program. Email us at podcast@poetryfoundation.org. The theme music for this program comes from the Claudia Quintet. For Poetry Off the Shelf, I'm Curtis Fox. Thanks for listening.